With a song in my heart, the story of men and their music, of composers who really had a song in their hearts. That old-timer dates back to 1906, a brainchild of a songwriter we knew as Gus Edwards. And take it from me, Gus Edwards was one of the real personalities of his time. He was born in Germany and came to settle down in the United States when he was 9 years old. That was in the year 1887. When in his early teens, he took a job in his uncle's cigar store, selling smokes across the counter. One day, his uncle said to him,
Yes.
What is it, Uncle?
Your old uncle's getting on in years, and I think I might as well let you know that if you're industrious and work hard in the business, someday, who knows, I might make it over to you.
Well, that's very generous of you, Uncle.
But mind you, boy, that is only if you apply yourself diligently to your task. You must make it a whole-time job to the exclusion of everything else.
What, you mean, Uncle, that you want me to cut out my singing?
Yeah, but of course. Where will your singing get you? Nowhere. Even though I must admit you have a sweet voice. But to succeed in the business, you must concentrate. Therefore, no taking engagements at night. You understand?
Well, yes, Uncle. I'll try.
And it's to young Edward's credit that for a while he did try to become a normal businessman. But he had a song in his heart, and eventually his love for music won the day, and he gave away his job, much to his old uncle's disgust. He then took a job in Tin Pan Alley as a song plugger. One evening, after he'd finished singing one of his firm's publications at a small-time theater, the stage doorkeeper said to him,
Yes, Edward.
What is it, Charlie?
There's a filler outside, said he'd like to meet you.
Well, one of my fans, maybe. My public. Where is he?
He's outside here in the alley. Yeah, there he is.
You Gus Edwards?
Well, that's the name I usually answer to.
My name's Jack Hyde. I just caught your act. Hey, you got a nice voice. A real boy soprano.
I'm glad you like it.
How old are you?
16.
Oh, just the right age.
For what?
An act I have in mind.
What kind of act?
I figured on getting a bunch of kids together. Kids about your age or younger. And framing a variety act around them. Would you be interested?
Well, if it's a music act and means money, of course I am.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's get together on this and see what we can do.
And that suggestion of Jack Hyde's was to change the whole course of Gus Edwards' life. For he eventually became one of Vaudeville's top acts. A successful songwriter, too. One he wrote in the year 1900 is still around. As a matter of fact, it was used in a talkie, The Belle of the Yukon, a few short years ago, and was featured by Dinah Shore. That song was the Edwards opus, I Can't Tell Why I Love You, But I Do. Gus Edwards' collection of kids in his act became a sensational hit, and he's credited with making more stars than possibly any other one artist in the entire history of vaudeville. He became known as the Star Maker.
And a mighty apt title, too, for he discovered this talented galaxy of stars. Eddie Cantor, Groucho Marx, Hildegard, Ray Bulger, fan dancer Sally Rand, and that star of the silent films, Mae Murray.
Which, you must admit, is quite an array of headliners, but haven't you forgotten one more?
No, sir. I was coming to that. The star I purposely omitted was none other than the world's most famous successful news columnist, Walter Winchell. Yes, this most famous journalist was at one time a member of Gus Edwards's kid act.
Which all goes to show that Gus was quite a man. And, of course, he still turned out a worthwhile song hit every now and then. At the turn of the century, for instance, one of the most popular forms of entertainment was still the old minstrel show. One of the top stars of this type of show, on one occasion, said to Edwards,
"Say, Gus, what's on your mind, Al?
Did you ever think of writing a number, especially for a minstrel show?"
"Oh, I can't say I have, Al, but it's not a bad idea at that."
"Well, why not go to it? You know the kind of song we specialize in. Something about the South. The type made famous by Stephen Foster."
"Stephen Foster? Well, that great writer's a pretty good model for a young fella to base his work on. I'll see what I can do, Al."
"Good. And the sooner the better."
And Gus Edwards was true to his word, for he wrote a song that's become a classic of its style. His famous Way Down Yonder in the Cornfield, or to give its original title, Down in Mobile.
Down in Mobile, down in Mobile, how I love that freedom.
Now, some folks say that a nigger won't steal
way down yonder in the cornfield,
but I caught one in my cornfield
way down yonder in the cornfield.
Down in Mobile, down in Mobile, how I love that pretty other gal down in Mobile.
I said it rep for a big blue jet
way down yonder in the cornfield,
but it took my trap and it flew away
way down yonder in the cornfield.
To American variety audiences, Edward's name was now a household word. And whenever his kid act appeared, turn away business was the order of the day. At a rehearsal on one occasion, he said to little Eddie Cantor,
Eddie?
What is it, Gus?
I've written a new song to close the act with. I want you to sing it with little Hildegard and make a duet of it.
Okay, Gus. What are you calling it?
School Days. And it fits our act like a glove. I feel I got a hit number in it.
The rest is history. For this song was to become one of Tin Pan Alley's biggest sellers. What's more, it's still a hit today. So, for a memory of it, Gus Edwards' immortal School Days.
Nothing to do, Nellie darling. Nothing to do, you say.
Let's take a trip on memory ship back to the bygone days.
Sail to the old village schoolhouse, anchor outside the school door.
Look in and see, there's you and there's me.
A couple of kids once more. School days, school days, dear old golden rule days. Read 'em and write 'em and arithmetic.
Taught to the tune of the hip rhythm.
Were my queen in calico.
You were my bashful barefoot beau.
And I rode on your slate. I love you so. When we were a couple of kids. Queen in calico.
You were my bashful barefoot beau.
And I rode on your slate. I love you so. When we were a couple of
Gus Edwards' act was now really big time, and he was in the money. Not only was his act a top money one, but his royalties from his various song hits was the envy of his contemporaries in Tin Pan Alley. Two writers discussing him one day said,
Tell me, Hank, what is it that Gus Edwards got that we ain't?
Well, firstly, he's got a mighty good flair for melody. And secondly...
Yeah, what?
He's got a headline act to plug his songs for him wherever he goes. That's why Remix, the music publisher, offered him $7,000 outright for his new number.
$7,000? That's a lot of dough. What did he offer that on?
His latest hit. He calls it Sunbonnet Sue.
And sure enough, for once, that was no Tin Pan Alley exaggeration. For that's what Edwards took for his song, Sunbonnet Sue.
Sunshine and roses run second to you. You look so nice,
I kissed you twice under your sunbonnet blue. It was only a kind of a kiss, dear, but it tasted lots nicer than pie. And the next thing I knew, I was dead stuck on you when I was a kid so high. It was only a kind of a kiss, dear, but it tasted lots nicer than pie. And the next thing I knew, I was dead stuck on you when I was a kid.
About the year 1911, a new play was produced on Broadway. This was a drama, and it became one of the greatest successes ever presented on the Great White Way. Some of you folk are sure to remember it. It was known as Alias Jimmy Valentine.
Sure, I recall it. It was made into a movie, too, wasn't it?
It was, on two different occasions. Old-time star of the silent days, Robert Warwick, was featured in it, and when the talkies arrived around 1928... a new and successful version of it was filmed in Hollywood. Discussing it with a publisher one day, Gus had this to say.
This new dramatic success, Alias Jimmy Valentine, Chief.
What of it, Gus?
Well, it's such an outstanding hit, I was wondering if I could write a song around it.
Write a song about a drama, eh? That's certainly an unusual idea, Gus, even for you.
Well, what do you think of it?
Well, I guess it's up to you, my boy. You feel you can give us a hit about it? Why, I'm all for it.
Right, Chief. I'll go to work on it then.
And he did, too. And within a few short weeks, everyone was whistling it. The song was known as Look Out for Jimmy Valentine. A hit in 1911 and a hit again in 1928-29 when it was featured by an up-and-coming singer we knew as Bing Crosby. So let's have a memory of it. Let it roll, maestro.
Look out, look out for Jimmy Valentine. For he's a pal of mine, a sentimental crook with the touch that lingers in his sandpaper fingers. He would steal a combination of your pocketbook. Look out, for when you see his lantern shine, then it's time to get right up and shout.
Help!
He would steal a horse and cart. He'd even steal a girlie's heart when Jimmy Valentine gets out. Look out, look out, for when you see his lantern shine, then it's time to get right up and shout.
Ow!
He would steal a horse and cart, he'd even steal a girlie's heart when Jimmy Valentine gets out.
Cute little number, that one, and a great big seller, too. When the talkies came along, Gus Edwards was wooed by the Hollywood movie magnates, and during an interview with Louis B. Mayer of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Mayer had this to say.
Gus, I've had you brought down here to discuss a new feature we have on schedule.
What's on your mind, Mr. Mayer?
It's a big musical review based on your famous old kid act. We're calling it the Hollywood Review.
Well, who's in the cast?
Practically every one of our top rating stars. Norma Shearer, Marion Davies, Joan Crawford, Jack Benny, Lionel Barrymore, and for good measure, Laurel and Hardy and Maury Dressler, and Polly Moran.
Gee, what a cast.
I thought that lot would please you. Well, there's one more name to be added to it, and that's Gus Edwards. What say, Gus?
Mr. Mayor, I'm 100% for it. When do we start?
And that super-duper production was one of the really big ones of its era. But, of course, that was only 20-odd years ago. Long before that, in 1905 to be precise, Gus had given us another typical hit, that gay little song we knew as He's My Pal. Maybe you recall that it was invariably sung by a femme artist who used a mirror to reflect the spotlight onto some of the habitués of the gallery.
He doesn't wear a collar and a shirt all white. He wears a simple muffler and he looks all right. He never goes in a circle or a box. He never has a seat below. But he sports his little tanner in the gallery with Anna. Hello, little pal. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, little pal, hello. He never goes in a circle or a box. He never has a seat below, but he sports his little tenor in the gallery with Anna. Hello, little pal. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, little pal. Hello.
And so we come towards the finale of the Gus Edwards story. This remarkable man passed on in the year 1945, but his songs, they're fortunately still with us. We've purposely refrained from letting you hear his biggest and most beloved success until the closing spot, because to have used it in its right sequence earlier might have proved an anticlimax. This song was a smash when he wrote it in 1909. It's still a smash, and was revived in a Jane Powell talkie only recently. Gus Edwards, By the Light of the Silvery Moon.
By the light of the silvery moon, I love to spoon. To my honey I'll croon, love's croon, honeymoon. Keep a shining in June, your silvery beams are in love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon, 'neath the silvery moon.
By the light of the silvery moon, I love to spoon.
Shining in June, your silvery beams are in love's dreams. We'll be cuddling soon, 'neath the silvery moon.
Thank you. And once again, the curtain falls on the story of a composer who really had a song in his heart. The artists recreating his times and melodies were Stuart Ginn, Robert Peach, Richard Davies, Michael Collins, Eula Parker and her Parkettes, Max Blake, William Laird and his melodeons. Orchestra and chorus under the baton of William Flynn. Your compere was John Morgan. With a Song in My Heart was produced by Alfred Potter and scripted and directed by Jack O'Hagan.